Count it a privilege to be here with you again. It's another Lord's Day. Father's Day. You know, Jonathan was pretty hard on the poor preachers there, but I've forgiven you. And it's probably true. We probably needed that. And it's true probably a lot of times that in the when you're talking about fathers, you're thinking about yourself. You're preaching to yourself. And when you're talking about mothers, it's on, you're looking at positive things. So, but anyway, I'm not planning on talking about, I want to let Steve have that time privilege. I don't know what he's sharing. But I do want to think a little bit about some of the blessings we have. Yesterday, we were, Matthew and Andrea flew out of Kansas City. They went to Colombia, and they're spending next week in Ecuador. So with their passing out Bible literature, Bibles and literature. So if you think about it, breathe a prayer for them there, that the work for the work there and that the word may find fertile soil. But on our way home, from Kansas City yesterday morning, noon maybe, I don't know what time it was. We were coming into Springfield, and we're on Highway 13 there, probably somewhere around 10 miles from Springfield, from 44. And we noticed the little Chevy Venture ahead of us was driving a little bit erratically. It would be on one side of the road and suddenly jerk into the other lane, then he'd go back into his own lane, then over on most of the way on the shoulder, it seemed like. First, I just thought he was looking down or something, wasn't paying attention, but it kept progressively getting worse. So I just stayed behind him because I was a little bit nervous. I got close enough to see his face in his mirror and saw it was an older gentleman, a little shorter. He was down in his seat. But you know, people would pass us, and they'd come up beside him, and especially one truck, it was an older diesel pickup that could crack pretty good if he hammered it. And as he came up beside him, this old man just kind of came over into him, sent him off almost off the road, and well, he let the guy have the noise, and he jerked over and went off into the shoulder. And, you know, I felt sorry for the whatever, you know, your first impressions were, well, maybe he's drunk, maybe he's on drugs, maybe, you know, we don't know what's going on here. But finally, I called 911 and I said, I'm following somebody here that's really erratic. There's something wrong. And then told him where it was, and we kept going. I just stayed behind him. Just as we got into Springfield, things got really bad. He was off one way, then the other way, and then there's a place there on the road where when they were doing construction, they would let you go back and forth, so it's paved all the way across or concrete, whatever it is, and they got all those little yellow sticks in there to keep people in the right lane, keep people on their sides. And suddenly he just took off in across there, and I thought he was going to head on over in the other lane. And he gets in there and starts whacking on those little posts, knocking them down, and all of a sudden he just veered hard and back into his lane. And we came up to got up to the stop, and I was on the phone with the operator there with 911, and I told him, I said, things are bad. This is something bad wrong. And as we got up to the light, traffic stopped, and amazingly he stopped. So we were sitting there, and I was still on the phone. No, I think I was off by that time. But suddenly, he just accelerated, took off, and bam, into the next car. But anyway, if you want to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'd like to read a couple of verses there. And I think these are beautiful verses of what we are called to be. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 to 7. Blessed be the God, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also be of the consolation. You know, God is a comforter. Christ is a comforter. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. You know, and as little Christ, we are called to be comforters. You know, why do we need comfort? You know, it's because we live in a fallen world. We experience grief. We have all different kinds of grief. You know, it can be the loss of a home, etc., temporal things. It can be a wayward child, the loss of a child, the loss of a parent, spouse, sibling. You know, I'm blessed today to have my father still with us and father-in-law, and the many, you know, we're blessed in so many ways. And I've been blessed in so many ways. And I had to think a lot of people don't have that blessing. A lot of people don't have an ideal father, or things that there were some very unideal things. But you know, the challenge, I think, to you, if you find yourself there, is that, you know, that can be risen above. There are some positive things. And I think as we can focus on the positive, focus on the blessings we have, and through forgiveness, we can rise above and go on. You know, there's so many other fathers in my life, other people, as there's a lot of people here, and I'm not going to start naming, but that have been a blessing to me, and it can be little things. It can be someone that is always on church every Sunday or every time there's a service. It can be someone that operates on integrity. You know, I appreciate the memory verses, the two younger classes there, on integrity and truthfulness. But there's so many ways that we can be influenced by others' lives, and that we, in turn, are influencing others. You know, what is our influence? And as I thought of Father's Day, there are those this morning that don't have the opportunity to tell their father Happy Father's Day. I have to think of Brother Steve Schrock. We have over in Oklahoma, father that doesn't have the opportunity of his son telling him Happy Father's Day. But you know, we can have the confidence that our Lord and our Master understands. He was tempted in all points like as we are. He understands our suffering and our grief. You know, grief, the definition of grief is a keen mental suffering or distress over affliction or loss, sharp sorrow, painful regret, a cause or occasion of keen distress or sorrow. You know, things we go through will, or they should, help us to be comforters. It doesn't mean that we know exactly what the grieving person is going through, facing, because we all face things differently. There are different threads in every direction. You know, as a child, I remember coming home from school, I think I was in the 8th grade, and hearing that, to find out that my Uncle John had been killed in Guatemala. We had been there to visit them just 6 weeks before. You know, how can it be a shock? It's just, you wake up the next morning hoping you had a bad dream, but it's not. You know, since then, our congregation has experienced numbers of loss, and quite a few times that there was young men, young fathers, taken suddenly, unexpectedly, without time to say goodbye. More recently, there have been those that were sick, and there was time to say goodbye, but there's no easy way. Grief is tearing. It comes in waves, wave after wave. Now, the deeper a person's capacity for love, the deeper his capacity for grief. It hurts so deeply because we love so deeply. You know, the grieving person struggles with the whys. What have I done to deserve this? Bewildered questions. You know, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? Why died I not? Why did I not give up the ghost? Why sleepest thou, O Lord? Why hast thou forgotten me? Lord, why hast thou castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me?
Yeah.
Those are questions that were asked by Job and David. And Jesus repeated one of those when he was at the height of his agony on the cross. It's been said that there's nothing wrong with asking God why, but it isn't right to demand an answer. And I think we had some good direction on that when Brother Morris was here and shared with us on the universe. Now, the Creator, the One, Brother Jonathan shared with us this morning a little bit, there, get thoughts on that. The One that sent His only Son to die for us. Think of the statement that Job made, the man that had lost all his earthly possessions, his children, and his health. He says, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. What can I do? Where do we find ourselves? What can you do? Sometimes we don't know what to say, so we don't say anything to someone that is grieving or struggling. You know, you may not be a wordy person, but anyone can say, I'm praying for you. You know, we can cry with them. I think it was John that mentioned in our Sunday school lesson that he saw or read somewhere that, you know, crying, and laughing and crying aren't, what was that phrase, John? Laughing and crying are cousins, not strangers. And we can weep with them. Send flowers. Send a text of encouragement. Take some food. You know, the expectant mother may not know what to say to the mother that has just went through a miscarriage. It's much better just to go and weep with them or let them know that you're praying for them. If we don't know what to say, that's okay. But avoiding the other party because we don't know what to say is not okay. One of the most powerful verses in the Bible is only two words long. What is it? Jesus wept. You know, those tears were an indication of His particular love for Lazarus. You know, those tears, I think he was looking at death in the physical sense. And death is because of sin. And He was here because of that, to make so that there was a way that we could live eternally. He has given us proofs no less evident of His love to all the saints, and that He was willing to die for them, for you and I. You know, greater love hath no man than a man than he lay down his life for his friend. You know, He could have prevented Lazarus' death. There was a lot of assumption. There was a lot of accusations there to the different groups of people that were at that event, that were there that day. You know, He could have prevented this, or there was different assumptions there. They jumped to all kinds of conclusions. So often we find ourselves assuming the worst instead of giving the hurting person a listening ear. The man that ended up hitting the car ahead of him, that was the man that was hit yesterday, it wasn't hit that hard. He only had about 8-10 feet to get started, so he didn't have much speed. There was no major damages to his vehicle. But you know, he jumped out. The man that was hit jumped out, came back, and you could tell he was not a happy camper. He was parked there. Everybody was stopped. There was no reason to be hit. And I quick turned on my four ways and jumped out, went up, and by that time he had the man back up and was examining his car. I was standing between the cars, and I grabbed him by the shoulder. I said, "Don't get in there," because I said, "This guy, you know, you're likely to get smashed." And I said, "His driving has been really erratic." Oh, he kind of jerked to attention, and he Came back and talked to the man. And you know, his whole demeanor changed. By the time the man told him, he said, "I'm so sorry." He said, "I'm trying to take He said, "I'm trying to get my wife's purse to the hospital." He said, "She's in the hospital, and I was just trying to take in her purse." And there was a nice black purse there on the floor. And he said, "I'm a diabetic." He said, "I haven't been eating right." He said, "Everything's just going. Things have been going backwards for me." And he said, "I'm just so glad I didn't hurt anybody." The man with the man that his car had been hit with the pierced ear put his arm around him. He said, "That's all right." He said, "I love you." He said, "Be careful." And then he was on his way to Branson with his family, and he was in a hurry to go. And he said, "I'm going." So we ended up, and he got in the guy's car, moved it off the road for him. So we parked behind him and waited till the police came, and they called the ambulance to get him checked out. But you know, a comforter. Do we find ourselves being comforters? Or do we think the worst? Do we judge? Do we hit the throttle and scare them off the road on the other side? You know, where do we find ourselves? Or are we the kind of comforter that Christ has called us to be? That's a challenge I'd like to leave with us today, you know, that we would be that kind of a comforter, that we be little Christ and be not assume, but look at people. We don't understand, you know, there's a lot of times we don't understand why somebody does what they do, what they're going through. Maybe we may assume it's something, and it may be, but there may be also, even those may be reasons they're there because of situations in their lives. So as we go through life, let's look at people as the way we'd want people to look at us. And as we share and as we reach out to be that kind of a comforter, that the kind of comforter that Christ has called us to be.